The word of God says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Welcome to the Blessed Assurance Podcast with Pastor Enrico White, Senior Pastor of Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. In this podcast, you'll receive the word of God with anointed clarity and revelation straight from the throne of grace. Now, let's join Pastor White with the word of God already in progress.
God and thy people bless. Come, God, bring now thy word success. Spirit of holiness, descend now on us. God, grant an anointing that makes preaching possible, that makes preaching practical, that makes preaching powerful. This is your word, O God. Bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. In the name of Jesus, we pray that the redeemed of the Lord shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to call your attention to the revelation of John, Revelations chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. We find these words: "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." From that portion of God's word, I want to use as a thought this morning: surviving the process. Surviving. Look at somebody, smile, don't scare them, smile, and tell them it's just a process. Do I have a witness this morning that we serve a God who is absolutely awesome? I mean, God is so awesome that he can look out into darkness and speak light into existence. He is awesome. God is so awesome that he can place a core in the center of the earth and call it gravity, and it holds everything in place. Isn't it interesting that if we could see down through the center of the earth all the way through, we would see people's feet and they would see our feet, but nobody's falling off the planet. God is awesome, God is so awesome. How is it that God knows just how much gravity to hold oceans in place, but not so much that it does not pull clouds down from the sky? God is absolutely awesome. God is so awesome that he just looked at an empty air and said, "Let fowls, birds fly in the air." And at the word of God, birds began to fly. He is awesome. God is so awesome that he looked at an empty ocean and said, "Let fish swim in the sea." And at God's word, fish began swimming. Somebody shout awesome. God is so awesome that he looked at an empty earth and said, "Let beasts roam the fields." And at God's word, beasts and cattle began to roam the field. But when God created man, God did not look at the air, and neither did God look at the oceans. When God created man, neither did God, though man made from the dust of the earth, he did not look upon the dust of the earth, but God looked upon himself. For he says in Genesis 2:18, let us make man in our own image. James Weldon Johnson, in his poem The Creation, then says that he scooped up the dust and he shaped it and he formed it, giving us the form of God. And because we are so special to God, our awesome God did not just speak life to us like he did the birds, the fish, or the cattle, but God, through his own inspired spirit, breathed breath into us. God is awesome. Somebody shout awesome. When God made you, God was just showing how awesome he was. When God created you, God was showing how awesome he was. When God does what he does in your life, for you, in you, and through you, God is just showing how awesome he is. He is awesome. But I need you to understand. I need you to understand. Because you are awesome. Yeah, somebody encourage yourself and tell yourself, I am awesome. Yeah. Because you are awesome. Yeah, with your awesomeness, my friend Dr. Kenneth Q. James would say that you got to pay a jealousy tax. Yeah. Because of your awesomeness, you've got folks who are envious of you. And that jealousy tax that you've got to pay is you got to pay for your haters. You got to deal with their ridicule. You got to deal with their ostracism. You got to deal with their criticism simply because they are envious of your awesomeness. Do I have some folk in here who are the recipients of haters? But I've learned one of two things. If you ain't the hated, then you are the hater. And there are, Reverend Pettigrew, some people who have the unmitigated gall to be envious of me. Envious of what they think they see. Envious of me. They're envious of what I wear. I wear tailor-made robes. Most of them my mama make, but that's tailor-made. It's tailor-made. That's right, made by the finest, amen. I drive pretty okay cars. Live in a pretty okay house. A pastor, wonderful church. And they're envious of what they think they see, but they fail to realize the me they see ain't the me that's always been. They envious of what I wear, but they were not there when I used to have to wear Roz, my daddy's hand-me-down robes that had so many stains in it. That Korean cleaner I went to on Central Avenue said, I can't get that stain out. Yeah. They envious of what I drive, but they were not there in 1991 when I was driving a 1976 Volkswagen Super Beetle, when the only way I knew I was running out of gas is when I was running out of gas. They were not there back in the day when at the Marvin A.M.E. Zion Church, way back in the day when Bible study night was Jesus, me, and three. They were not there. They were, are y'all hearing me? They were not there. They were not there. They were not there when I had to choose at the beginning of the month whether I was going to pay rent or whether I was going to pay my light bill. They were not there. They see the glory. Oh, but they don't know my story. Yeah. Is that somebody's testimony up in here? Look at somebody and tell them, you don't know what I've been through to get to where I am. You see my glory, but you don't know my story. have had to go through the process. The process. But I understand that we're living in a day and time that nobody appreciates, nobody respects the process. Because we want everything quick, fast, and in a hurry. Am I right about it? We want a quick fix. We want a quick meal. We want, y'all ain't praying with me up in here. We want everything fast. But I come to share with somebody who will hear me that nothing beats something that has gone through the process. Let me prove it. My mother, who's sitting right here, mama was an old school cook. She don't cook no more. Mama was an old school cook. No, she let us do all the cooking now. I already told me Thanksgiving at your house. That mean, Rufus, I got to cook. Don't fool yourself. Brother can burn. Don't fool yourself. You better ask somebody. But my mama was an old school cook. No. Didn't know what cans were unless she canned it herself. Mama was an old school cook. And mama would take time Thanksgiving to bake a turkey. Yeah. And the process, check it out. Here's the process. Mama would see to it that turkey was cleaned and prepped. She would see that turkey was seasoned and dressed. Mama then would put that turkey on a pan and put that pan on top of another pan and stick it in the oven. And every so often, Mama would open up the oven door, pull out the rack. She would get this long plastic tubular thing with a ball on the end. She then would take that, squeeze the ball, stick it in the pan that was underneath the pan, and suck up some of that which was underneath in that pan and pour it back over the turkey. I remember asking my mama, "Mama, what are you doing?" She said, "Baby, I'm basting the turkey." I said, "Mama, why are you bathing the turkey? Is it dirty?" She said, "No, baby, I'm basting the turkey. I'm taking its own natural juices, pouring it back over the turkey that it can seal in that skin so I don't have a dry turkey, because Mama don't like no dry turkey." She then put that turkey back in the oven, wait for a while longer, pull the turkey out the oven again, and go through the process all over again. Wasn't nobody concerned about how long it took. Nobody concerned about how long we had to wait, because we knew that at the end of the process, we were going to have a turkey that was second to none. Anybody with me up in here? Told your mama was an old school cook. Mama took time. Mama, wait. Understand. We now living in a generation that we got folks that got the nerve to call somebody and ask, "How many minutes does it take to microwave a turkey?" The devil. Can I get a witness? Nothing beats the taste of a turkey that's gone through the process. Mama's an old school cook. Mama would take time, Yolanda, to make dressing.
That's right.
And in making her dressing, she started out with what I thought was cornbread. And when Mama made cornbread, she would grab real cornmeal. Because Mama said, "I don't like that Jiffy stuff. It's too sweet." She grabbed some real cornmeal, grabbed some buttermilk, and grabbed some eggs, a little bit of oil. Mama then would get some celery and some onions and some sage and some other ingredients that she won't tell nobody about. Mama would then begin to bake her cornbread. She said, "Y'all watch my cornbread. Y'all watch it. Don't y'all touch it. Y'all watch it. I'll be back in just a few minutes." Mama then would grab that cornbread out of the oven. Now, all I needed meeting with some beans, and I would have been good to go just right there. But mama would then take that cornbread, she'd crumble it up in another bowl, she'd add the celery and the onions and a bunch of other ingredients, put some eggs up in that thing, she'd then put it back in the oven. Are y'all with me up in here? Because mama was making some dressing. Nobody was concerned about how long it took. Nobody was concerned about how long we had to wait, because we knew at the end of the, we were going to have some dressing. Oh, but this how you try to do it now. You like to go to Food Lion. You like to go to Harris. Let me say it like the old folks. You like to go to Harris and Teeter. You like to go down the aisle, and you like to choose one of 32 flavors of stovetop stuffing. Stovetop stuffing. I'm sorry, I ain't eating nothing that says stuff. Y'all remember that commercial? Mommy, I'm eating at Jimmy's house tonight. His mommy is making stove top stuff thing. Baby, nothing beats the taste of a dressing that's gone through the process. One of the first things my mama taught me to cook was popcorn. One of the first things she let me cook was popcorn. And check it out. You learn, I can't think of your name. As well as I know your name. Drake, check it out, Drake. Drake, this is how I used to make popcorn. I used to go into the cabinet and get a clear bag of popcorn kernels. Drake, you didn't even know popcorn came in clear bags. I would reach underneath and I would grab a pot. I would then go into the refrigerator, Drake, and I would grab some real, y'all with me. I would cut on the stove, grab a little bit of the butter, put it in the pot. As the butter would begin to melt, I would add some of the popcorn kernels. And as the kernels would start sizzling in the pot, just as the kernels were about to pop, I'd put the lid on, and as the kernels began to pop, I just... Drake couldn't send no text message, I'm making popcorn. Couldn't respond to no email, I'm making popcorn. Couldn't stop to take a picture for my Instagram, cause I'm cooking. Are y'all with me up in here? Drake, this is how you make popcorn. You go into the cabinet, you pull out a box, you pull out a bag, take off the plastic wrapping, you take that bag, you put it in the microwave, and your generation's so spoiled that y'all ain't even got to push 300 start. You got a microwave that all you got to do is push. That's how you make popcorn. But for me, nothing beats that's gone through the process. One more. Let me get off food for a minute. I got to finish this thing here. Listen, this is how Kiara dating used to take place. It used to be boy sees girl. Girl sees boy seeing girl, but girl has to play hard to get, because girl's mama told her anything that comes easy ain't worth having. Boy then would see girl, would then get nerved up to have conversation with girl. If boy then talked right at the end of conversation, he would get the digits. Do they still say digits? Boy then would talk to girl Sarah on the phone for a while, and if things seemed to progress right, a boy then would ask girl out on a date. And girl would say, before I can go out with you, you got to come to my house to meet my mama and my... And if mama and daddy approved, then boy could take girl out on a date. And chances are mama or mama and daddy would go, y'all ain't helping me up in here, drive out with them. No, wasn't going to be no hand holding. Wasn't going to be no sugar, no kissy up in here. And God knows it wasn't going to be no nooky. Y'all ain't praying with me up in here. No. But this is how they want to do it now, Riggins. They want to sign on to their local internet provider. They want to get on to www.wantahookuprightnow.com. What's up? What you doing? Could be you. Let's get it on. Y'all ain't praying with me, but I need somebody to understand that nothing beats a relationship that has gone through the... Somebody to understand this morning that where you are in your walk with God is just a part of the process. I know sometimes the process can be long. I know sometimes the process can be enduring. I know sometimes the process can be painful. But my whole premise this morning is to hold on, because you can survive the process. Yeah, just because you are awesome, made by an awesome God, you got an enemy called Satan that desires to devour you and to sift you as wheat. Can I get a witness up in here? Listen, you want to know why the devil is after you? The devil is after you because he used to be you. Yeah. The devil used to be the one that was in heaven giving God praise. But when he started thinking himself more highly than he ought, he found himself kicked out of heaven. And when God created you, he created you for one purpose, and that's to give God glory. That's to give God praise. You are what the devil used to be. And because of that, the devil can't stand you. He cannot stand you, but you got to understand that is really bigger than you. He is after the God in you. And because Satan could not devour the Savior, he attacks the saints. I got to say it again. Because Satan could not devour the Savior, he attacks the saints. Can I get a witness up in here? John 10:10 is truth. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come to encourage somebody this morning by telling you, don't let the devil steal your testimony. Yeah, because if he does, he'll rob you of your joy. He'll leave you without any hope. He'll leave you without any strength. But you want to know why the devil is so bad and he's so madly after you? Not only because he used to be you, but the devil has taken a peek into your future. He understands. Not only are you fearfully and wonderfully made, how marvelous are the works of God, but he also understands that it doth not yet appear what you shall be. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm in the process. Listen, baby, I may not be all you think I should be. Truth of the matter is, I'm not even all that I'm
going to be. But can I get a witness up in here that can shout, but I thank God that I'm not what I used to be, because I'm in the process.
I'm in the process.
And listen, because once upon a time, if you looked at me the way you look at me now, if you had looked at me then the way you look at me now, you might get some expletive deleters that I did not learn in Sunday school. Come on in here. Don't look at me. Don't judge me. Because if some had talked about me then the way they talk about me now, I lived in the Bronx. I might bust a capper up and not go there. But I thank God that I'm not who I used to be. Can I get a witness up in here? Is there somebody up in here who can say, I thank God for the process in my life? Thank God for he speaks into your future. He speaks into your future. He speaks into your future. I need somebody to understand, your future is bright. Your future is promising. Your future is hopeful. I understand. You can't see your future because of your present. You don't see hopeful. You don't see bright. You don't see promising because of where you are in the process. But today, I want to suggest to you that you can know your future by taking a look at your past. I gotta say that one again. You can have an idea of your future by taking a look at your past. Let me prove this thing here. We like to look at David as the greatest king of Israel. We like to reflect upon the David as the David who danced out of his clothes as he had brought back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to the people of God, which was the greatest day of King David's life. But I need you to understand that the greatest day of his life is not always who David was. For in David's past, he was a young, ruddy boy that was out there keeping sheep in the field. In his past, he was the one that was overlooked, downsized, talked about by his brothers. In his past, he's the one that had to stand against the lion and the bear as he was tending to his father's sheep. In the past, he's the one, my God, that Goliath mocked at, that they laughed at. But now he's defeated Goliath. Now he's got the crown because he endured his past to get to his future. You can have an idea of your future by taking a look at your past. We see Joseph as the second in command to Pharaoh. We see Joseph as his brothers are now bowed down to him. Ask him, but we forget about the Joseph in the past who was thrown into a pit. We forget about the Joseph of the past who was sold into slavery. We forget about the Joseph of the past who had been accused of rape. We forget about the Joseph of the past who had been thrown into jail. We forget about Joseph of the past who had been forgotten when others, but we see the Joseph that held on through his past. He held on through his pain, and he found himself moving from the pit to prison to the palace. I came to tell somebody up in here that if you hold on, you can know your future by taking a look at your past. Is there a witness up in here that you're not where you used to be? You can now shout, look where he brought me from.
We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired by the Blessed Assurance Podcast with Pastor Enrico White, Senior Pastor of Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. If you are new to the area and or seeking a church home, please feel free to worship with us at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church, located at 2220 Milton Jackson Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Our order of services are as follows. Sunday morning worship with a preached word at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study, 12 noon and 6:30 p.m. And every first Sunday, Holy Communion. For more information about Weeping Willow, please go online to www.weepingwillowamez.org or call 704-532-9125 or via email at wwillowchurch@aol.com. Finally, if this podcast has encouraged and inspired you, please come visit us at 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. The Word of God says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him."
This is Enrico White, pastor of the Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. I'm personally inviting you to join us for the experience. Experience the word. Experience the worship. Experience the witness at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. We have two wonderful worship experiences, 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Come be revived. Come be renewed as lives are being touched, hearts are being transformed. Weeping Willow is located 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Or look for us on the web, weepingwillowamez.org. We'll see you real soon.